Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Good evening. Welcome to the Tattered Cover. This store really is an experience you can't download, isn't it? And thanks to your support, we continue to have evenings like this one, where we bring authors and readers together. We are so happy to welcome Brad Thor, best-selling author, back to the store tonight. He'll be introducing and signing his new book, Act of War. Please join me in giving him a very warm welcome.
Thank you very much. Wow, look at this great crowd. This is terrific. I am very, very happy to be back in Colorado, and thank you all for coming out on what's been an off again, on again, almost dark, but rainy night. So that's, excuse me, I'm a little bit stuffed up. It's been a powerhouse of a tour already. I started in New York and doing lots of media, and we've done DC and Dallas and now here in Highlands Ranch, and then I go on to Phoenix and all these other great places. And this is my favorite time of the year because I get to come out, and I said this last year when I was here, but I get to come and see the people that I work for. I have a wonderful career, and it's thanks to all of you. And so while I toil away in my office in between tours writing a new book, it's you that I'm thinking of and you that I'm working for. So thank you very much for all of your support. Now, I think since we've got so many people and probably a lot of questions, Jinx. I think Jack Cheevers is one of the best authors I've ever read, but I did not write this book. Just so you know.
Someone keeps changing it.
I'll just set this right over here. All right. After you're done reading all my books, I highly recommend Jack Cheevers, but you're going to get more out of Jack if you've read all my stuff first. So, right, there's mine. Okay, great. I think probably the best thing we can do tonight, because I love doing questions and answers, because everybody wants to know about different things, where are we with the movie process and all of this kind of thing. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about where the idea for Act of War came from, and then we'll open it up for questions, and then we'll sign books tonight. So the idea for Act of War, I was doing a lot of talking with friends of mine in the intelligence community, in the special operations community, and I've done this harder and harder. I've pushed further and further with each book to say, what keeps you up at night? You know, what is it that you can tell me that keeps you up at night? Because there's certain things they're not allowed to talk about. And we talked a lot about the plot in this book. And I was influenced, or I should say I was inspired, by two nonfiction books that I wanted to explore a little bit in the writing of this one. One is Lone Survivor by Marcus Luttrell, unbelievable American, unbelievable warrior, fantastic book and fantastic movie. For those of you who have not read Lone Survivor, Marcus is a Navy SEAL. Marcus is no longer active. Marcus was part of a Navy SEAL four-man reconnaissance and surveillance team that was sent into a part of Afghanistan to do surveillance on a high-value Taliban target. And while they were hiding up in the mountain, they were just supposed to go up real quick. These jobs are 48 hours normally. You go in, you come out, and they were hiding in the mountains looking down on this village. Some goat herders came by. It was an old man, a teenage boy, and a younger boy, and they stumbled across these four SEALs. And the SEALs put them in flexi cuffs, tied them up, and then had this long discussion about what should they do with them, because their rules of engagement said you can't kill them. They're non-combatants. These are not soldiers. You cannot kill them. And they went back and forth, what should we do, what should we do? And they did the right thing. They let them go. I wanted to explore what would happen if you took that same team, put it someplace else in the world where rules of engagement did not apply, where you would be allowed to kill those three, a teenager, a young boy, and an old man. And what do I envision? Because it's interesting, after the whole Operation Red Wings thing happened with Marcus, I talked to a lot of people, both in the service and retired from the service, that told me they knew exactly what they would do in that situation. And then I had people tell me I wouldn't know what to do there. And I thought this would be very interesting to explore in a book. So I wanted to put that in as one of the subplots in the novel. The other nonfiction book I was reading for background before I started writing is a fantastic book called Escape from Camp 14. And it's about the, a couple of heads are nodding, a couple of people have read it. It's right behind me, too. Yeah, oh, wow, here it is. This is a fantastic book, Escape. Wow, that's right behind me. Escape from Camp 14. And this is about the only Korean prisoner of war to be born, not prisoner of war, to be a political prisoner, to be born into a labor camp. And the way this works, and to have escaped. The way it works in North Korea is if somebody in your family commits a crime that they don't like, they lock up three generations. They believe it takes three generations to get descent and everything out of your bloodstream. So this young man was born into this labor camp, and he's the only one to have ever escaped. And that was fascinating. And I thought, with this big, scary terrorism plot, I wanted some personal, some human interaction. And I thought, I'm going to fuse these two ideas of what would happen if the SEALs didn't have any rules of engagement, and what might it be like in one of these labor camps. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting, and they talk about it in this book, is that we in the United States always ask, we knew where all the rail lines were in World War II going to the concentration camps, and we never bombed them. And here we are in the modern age, and we've got satellite technology, and we can see these labor camps in North Korea, and it's amazing that they don't get more attention. So I took on this big thing because I wrote about this in the book, and I was challenging myself because I said, how do I make this exciting? How do I tie it in with what Scott Harvest doing back in the United States? And I am very proud of the end result of Act of War, and that's a little bit of the behind the scenes on it, and I hope that you enjoy the book too. So what I'd like to do now is open it up. We can talk about Act of War if you have any specific questions, if you want to talk about the movies, any of that kind of stuff. Does anybody have any questions they came wanting to ask? Yes, ma'am.
I saw you this morning on Morning Joe, and you were talking about movies being made of your books. Who do you see as the leading character?
So who do I see as the leading character? It's funny, on the way over here, I had done Access Hollywood, and that aired on the way over here, and it was funny because I got asked that same question. And I said, well, you know, for the longest time, I wanted Mark Wahlberg. I still think Mark Wahlberg is a fantastic actor. He actually played Marcus Luttrell in the Lone Survivor movie. I like, if it was a non-American, not that that's how you pick them. You pick based on are they good actors. I like Chris Hemsworth a lot. Has nothing to do with the fact that he plays Thor in all of the movies. But I thought, wouldn't that make for funny articles that Chris Hemsworth got the Brad Thor. The poor guy can only do things with Thor attached to it. That would be about the extent of his career, those movies in my books. But I like Hemsworth. So those are two people that I really, really like. Now, I've done 13 Harvath books, and my hope is with the movies that are starting to get ramped up for Harvath, that we get an actor that can play for as long as possible. But even the James Bond franchise went through several actors and people. Audiences seem to be pretty good with that. As a matter of fact, I remember the outcry when they picked Daniel Craig. Everybody, particularly the Brits, were, it was like the gnashing of teeth and the rending of garments. I mean, these people were throwing themselves in front of black taxi cabs in London because they were so upset about Daniel Craig, and he's turned out to be fantastic. Now, what I learned from my dealings in Hollywood is that the whole gritty, very physical, you know, Bond's all sculpted and it's Daniel Craig has a lot to do with the Jason Bourne franchise, which was so hot that it knocked the Bond franchise back on its heels, and they had to reboot and come out grittier and cooler. So it was very interesting to see one Hollywood movie franchise force another one to up its game. And I think it actually did a lot for the Bond franchise. I thought it was very good. It's actually, because there was a time where there were several Bond movies that I just personally didn't care for, and I'm a big Bond fan. So thank you for your question. Yes, ma'am. How long did it take me to write this book, including my research time? I write one book a year, and so every book is different. Some of the books I do more research for, some less. What I try to do in each book is to pick a topic that I want to know more about, and I spend as much time with it as necessary until I feel comfortable that if we were sitting down over coffee, I could explain it to you. If I could do that, then I could write about it in the book in such a way that it's interesting. So my process, I will have
normally turned in a manuscript in January. I will edit with my editor throughout January and February. March and April, I will be working on the new idea for a book. January, February, editing, March, April, doing research, and then May, June, start writing so that by the time I get to this tour part, I'm hopefully about 50% done with next summer's book. And then when I get home from tour, I've got August, September to finish the book, let it sit in, as Stephen King says, marinate in that lower desk drawer, forget everything about it, actually hopefully be surprised and entertained when I read it, polish it up a little bit, and then turn it in. My deadline's normally New Year's Day. Nobody's in the office in New York. It's kind of a silly, you know, I email it. I've got proof I sent it in, but it's kind of a silly deadline. But that's what it is, January 1st. Yes, sir.
Since you're halfway done, what's the next one?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to a gentleman that works for James Rollins and Steve Barry. He gets sent to all of my signings, asked the same question so that Steve Barry and James Rollins can get the jump on me. I can't and don't say. I will release, it'll be, the information will be out there in the spring. So I've got a very good idea. And you know what? I can't remember who said it. I have a friend who is one of the reasons I became an author, and his name is David Morrell. And he's a wonderful, wonderful thriller author. David wrote Rambo. Is one of his books, along with Assumed Identity and Burnt Sienna. I mean, David Morrell is just a giant in the thriller genre. And David was a creative writing instructor. And he has a real big, serious thing about not talking about your books until they're done, because you'll find people want to put their two cents in. And he said it's kind of that personal rocket fuel that you have to power you through a whole year of writing. If you share it too much along the way, it gets chipped away at, and then some of that fuel gets siphoned off. So, but that's not it. It's just because you work for James Rollins and Steve Barry. That's why I don't do it. So, yes, sir.
I believe the book was the Takedown, and it talked about DIA out of Denver Airport.
The Athena Project, yes. The Athena Project, yep, that talked about Denver Airport.
And how did you do your research on that, and how much is factual?
So the Athena Project, which, speaking of movies, the Athena Project has just been purchased by Warner Brothers for Ronda Rousey, the UFC fighting champion, and it's about a female Delta Force program, and Ronda's going to star in it, and it's very exciting. Ronda had a great fight last weekend, knocked out her opponent in 16 seconds. I have to say that's the best $54.99 I have ever spent. I woke up my children, I'm screaming, I'm like, woo, that's good for the movie, Ronda, 16 seconds. If Ronda had lost that fight, I'd be worried about Warner Brothers calling me up. So that's great. So we're still on for the Athena Project movie. So the stuff at Denver International Airport, there is such a wealth of interesting, all the way to wacky conspiracy theory on the stuff that exists out at Denver International Airport. You know, it's the new area of 51, 52, it's Heinz 57, there's aliens, you know, it's like Men in Black underneath that thing, right? And the crazy murals and the Masonic keystone that's out there. There's so much stuff, I couldn't put it all into the book. So I went through and took as much interesting things as I could. It's funny, if you work hard enough and trace a lot, run a lot of that stuff to ground, you find out a lot of it's just not true. The Queen, the Gettys, the Rothschilds, they don't own property next to the airport and all this kind of stuff. But it's fun to play with. It's fun to play with. But a lot of the stuff is just kind of wacky stuff out at the airport. Yes, sir. So we were talking about the very sad passing of a wonderful author who was an even better man, American, husband, patriot, just a terrific guy. And Vince passed. It's actually, we just came on the 1 year anniversary of Vince's passing. And so I was asked, was I approached to write, to fill in and take over the series? No, I was not. But I'm very happy to say that a very good friend of mine was hired, just signed a 3-book contract to do 3 more Mitch rap novels. His name is Kyle Mills. I was friends with Kyle before I was an author. His dad was an FBI legal attaché. His dad was really good friends with Clancy, which is very interesting. Really good pals with Clancy, and helped Clancy on a lot of his books, particularly with Patriot Games, because Tom's dad had been the FBI legal attaché to the embassy in London. So it's kind of a neat backstory with Kyle, and I think he's a great author, and if you love the Mitch Rapp series, I don't think Kyle's going to let you down. I think he's going to be a great, great author for that. So, but another question. Yes, ma'am.
You talked about
Okay.
Who do you know?
Who do I know? Who do I know? You're so much more gentle than my wife is. My wife says, you know, my husband, he's psychotic. I said, honey, no, 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 it's psychic. She goes, I know what the word is. She's psychotic, psycho, this guy, me. It's very interesting. My pal Brad Meltzer once said, a thriller writer's job is to beat the headlines. And I think that's right. So with my book, The First Commandment, page one of The First Commandment has not four, not six, but exactly five high-value Guantanamo Bay detainees being released in a trade. And then my novel Blacklist had to do with the NSA scandal. And this has happened many, many times. Even in Path of the Assassin, there was a terrorist who used to be the world's worst terrorist before Osama bin Laden came on. And when that book came out, short 3 weeks after publication, the guy was found dead in Iraq. And it was very funny because they said he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head four times. Four times. So it's just a product of reading the tea leaves and knowing what to write about, not to write about. I never put Osama bin Laden in one of my books because I knew the day I did that they would end up capturing him or killing him or something would happen and it would ruin all that work on the book. So it's just a way of reading the tea leaves, I guess. And that's part of, I got invited to be part of a federal program to help the government try to brainstorm terrorist scenarios. And I think that's one of the things that they liked about me was I would look at things differently. Stephen King once said that a writer is someone who's trained their mind to misbehave. And I think that's very, very true in my case. But so I'm going to try to cast my eyes where they haven't been. So I'm not... But any other questions? Yes, sir. So what's the movie that's being worked on besides the Athena Project? That is a great question. So I am going to be coming out with a big announcement that we are going to be filming. We're starting right at the beginning with the Lions of Lucerne. So we put together a great... Yeah. So very, very happy that we're going to start at the beginning. And we put together a non-studio deal. And this is very interesting because we had a financing. I have partners that have been working on this for 3 years to go out and pull together from different private equity groups the financing to do it so that we could do it and keep control of it. So Hollywood wouldn't change it. So we'd be able to say it's as close to the book as possible. And any changes that you need to do to get it into the two-hour window for a movie, I'll be making those changes. So if I put in a couple of extra twists and turns, they're Brad Thor twists and turns. They're not Hollywood twists and turns. So we're very, very happy about that. So we're opening a production company in L.A. I was working on some of the stuff on the airplane right here, picking out our office space and all that kind of stuff. So there's a ton going on, and we even have a TV show in the works. And that's something that if you are followers of my newsletter, it's something that once we've got the information about the TV show, we're going to be letting our newsletter followers at bradthor.com find out about it first. So that's kind of a neat thing. I send out one email a month. That's it. I try to make it fun and worthwhile. I've always got people banging down my door that say, can we give you stuff, prizes that you could give away? And it's like, what are we giving away? Like Benchmade knives and that Alpha jacket and all this kind of stuff. And it's just kind of a nice way for me to say thank you throughout the year to all of you for being such wonderful supporters of my books, because I could take out ads in magazines, take out billboards, and it would never be as strong as one of you going to a friend, a family member, a coworker saying, you got to read this guy. That's the best. We all know that, right? We're all readers. I couldn't be a writer without being a reader, and the books I love the most. In fact, this Escape from Camp 14 got on my radar screen because two men on my block had read it, and every time I passed them, two dads out with their kids, like, hey, Thor, did you read that book yet? And I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And I finally read it. It was fantastic. So now I'm a big evangelist for this book. I just love it. It was incredible. There we go. No, I did not read Bald. I am a few behind with David's work. So no, I did not. Does he have some of that in there? I bet mine's better, though. I bet mine's better. I bet mine's a lot more exciting. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I just got busted.
I just got busted. All right, so here's the deal. All the Brad Thor books were sent to Mark Wahlberg in Hong Kong while he was on the set of Transformers. I have no idea if Mark read them, didn't read them, whatever. Yeah, I like Mark Wahlberg a lot. So Mark Wahlberg at this point is my first... Man, I walked right into that buzzsaw, didn't I? You're a smart, smart person. You got me. So yeah, I like Mark Wahlberg a lot. It hasn't been decided yet, and that's part of what I have to do when I go out to L.A. is we have to see, because my partners are saying, you know, this is a franchise character, which means Mark has to commit to do X amount of movies. So Mark's agent thinks it's great. I obviously think it's great. And it's funny, when Lions of Lucerne first came out, that was the name that was being talked about. When my very first book came out was Mark, and I think he did such a great job in Lone Survivor. So I like him. I think he's a really good guy. He's got like 20 kids, and he's a good dad, and he goes to mass every day. He's just a good guy. I mean, from a thug in Boston or wherever he was from. What's that? Right, so no problem. I'm not worried about getting women into the theater, right? I'll work in some shirtless scenes into the movie, and we got that made. We know we're going to sell half the tickets right there. All right, I'll tell him. Highland Ranch, he's got a big fan club. Well, the joke with my... So I have a wonderful person on my team named Scotty. And when we first were offered to meet Mark, we got offered to be flown to Colorado because he was going to be in Aspen for some film festival or something. So the producer who was originally wooing me after my first book said, I'll tell you what, why don't you come, you and your wife, you like to ski, and then we got to go back. So when I was living in Park City, Utah, the producer said, we'll just drop you off at the airfield there, and then we'll fly back to California. And my entertainment attorney, Scotty, said, your wife will never get off that plane. She'll be like, oh, it's okay, honey. I got to stay with Mark. I'm going to go back to L.A. It was very funny. Everybody's got a good sense of humor, especially when they're picking on me at the office. So, all right. So what I want to do now, yes, ma'am. How do I like Nashville? Thank you for asking. It is a month ago today that we moved from Chicago, Illinois to Nashville, Tennessee, and it's been fantastic. Very, very nice people. We're looking forward to a much easier winter. The polar vortex is apparently headed back for Chicago in a couple of days, I just read. So, yeah, it's great. I got a 5% raise the minute I crossed the state line because there's no income tax in Tennessee. Balanced budget amendments. So, unlike Chicago, they can't spend more than they bring in. So, it's good. I'm sorry to leave. I grew up there. My parents are from there, but we're liking Nashville very, very much. I'll make this the last one. Yes, ma'am. Where do I write? I have an office in my home, and I write there. I write at my desk. I've got a couch in there, so sometimes I sit at the desk. Sometimes I'm, you know, out on the couch and just sitting with my laptop like that. So that's what I do. What I'd like to do now is I did this last year, and I have always... with me two challenge coins. So that one is for the next place. So I have two of these Act of War challenge coins that I made up. For those of you who aren't familiar with challenge coins, they're often done with military and law enforcement units as a way to say thank you. So like I said, I work for you, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate having the great job I do, and it's because of you. And so I like to do this at every book stop and to do two trivia questions. So I'm going to ask the questions, and I'm going to be looking for the first hand. Can anybody in here tell me what Scott Harvest's middle name is? Oh, yes, ma'am. Very good. It's Thomas. Congratulations. Congrats. And I will tell you the reason that I gave him that name. It's funny because when you read the book, it's Scott. I spell him Scott with just one T because he's named after my brother. Because my mom decided she didn't want my brother to be S-C-O-T-T-T-H-O-R. She didn't want the three T's in a row. So readers started asking me, where's the T? Where's the T? Scotty, who works on my team, said, in this book, does he find the missing T? Always does that to me. You know, the guy that says my wife's going to run off with Mark Wahlberg. We're going to pink slip him. I think any more of those jokes about my wife and Mark Wahlberg, if that comes back up. So that's how I got Thomas for the middle name. I wanted to be able to use a similar example. So I've got another Scott Harvath question. Does anybody know where Scott Harvath grew up? Oh, all the way in the back, sir. More specific. Yes, sir. Coronado. Coronado, California. The island of Coronado. Congratulations. So this is for you? All right. Okay, and I say this every year. Nobody seems to get tired of hearing it. The thank you is what I say, but that's not the part. Please come up if you have any questions at all. I'm happy to answer them here at the desk. We can take photos, all that good stuff. Thank you so much for allowing me to have my dream career. It's because of you, and again, you're the ones I work for, so it's an honor to be with you, and the one thing I say every year is come up, I'll sign your books, but I'll sign anything except congratulations, eBay highest bidder. So there you go. Come on up. Thank you for coming out tonight.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fode, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks as we podcast Authors on Tour.